I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Join me now as we continue our study in the book of James. Last time we left off with verse 18. Today we want to start with verse 19 of the first chapter of the book of James. Now this, as we look at this in verse 19, we see the importance of listening. James says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And the first part of that verse, James is saying, listen and think before you speak. Get your mind in gear, he seems to be saying, before you say anything. And then the last part of that verse says, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I believe he's saying here, don't be quick to respond to someone in anger. We need to cool off. Don't respond. Don't jump down someone's throat. If they've jumped down your throat, you need to back off. You need to calm down. And then in verse 20 it says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And this is reading, he says, think before you speak, and be slow to wrath. Don't retaliate in anger, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God that he's saying here. And then in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 27, the Bible seems to be saying here that there are commands, promises, and results that can be seen. In the first part of verse 21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Well, notice the first part of that verse, it talks about being filthy. Stay away from anything that is morally objectionable or obscene. We need to use common spiritual sense when it comes to living our lives for the Lord. And then the last part of that verse, in verse 21, it says, "which is able to save your souls." Stay away from anything excessively superfluity. That word superfluity means indecent or naughty. Stay away from something that is off color. And we're not to be around those who are speaking off color. We need to get away from those people. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't witness to them. It simply means we should not condone how they act and what they say, what they speak. Notice also in verse 21 there, it talks about, let's read that again. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Well, I see there that we are to be in submission. In other words, be meekness, and accept or receive the word of truth that's been permanently implanted, enabling your souls, my soul, to be saved. And then in verse 22, and the first part of that verse, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." And you go back to verse 21 and compare that with this as well. Be morally righteous, as the word instructs us. In verse 21, it talks about that. In verse 22, once again, be doers of the word. In other words, obey the gospel. And do not merely listen to the gospel, but do the gospel. Give out the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, "But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." We not only need to give the word of God out, but we need to take it to heart as well. In other words, live the word. Live the word of God. And let me remind you, we're not saved by good works. We're not kept saved by good works. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're kept by that same blood. But Paul goes on and tells us in his writings that we are to do good works, and so is James here. And Christ himself says that we are to keep, we are to do good works, not to be saved, but because we are saved, we're to do his will. Notice verse 22 once again. It says, deceiving your own selves. Well, I believe this is, you deceive yourself if you do not do God's word. Anything that we do apart from his word, anything that we do that brings dishonor and disgrace to God is wrong. Now notice verse 23. Verse 23 says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Ignore the word, and we forget to do the word. That's what it seems to be saying here. Don't ignore the word of God, but do the word of God. In verse 24, it says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you ever look in the mirror? I look in the mirror sometimes, and I get a little afraid. Who is that person looking back at me? But that's the way it is when we see a blemish on our face or something, and we walk away from the glass, from the mirror, we soon forget that. And that's the reason we need to stay in the Word of God, that we don't become a forgetful hearer. We look in the Word of God, and it's like a mirror. It tells us who we are, what happened to us. We've gotten saved, and we see that there, and we see how we're supposed to live as Christians. But as soon as we get away from the Word, we forget that. And that's the reason it's so important that we stay in the Word of God. In verse 23 and 24 says, don't ignore the Word and don't forget the Word. Looking into a mirror shows only an image. Looking into God's Word shows the real person. And in verse 25, the first part of that verse says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Don't forget about the perfect law of liberty, James says here. And this law of liberty cannot be improved upon. Now, the law of liberty sets us free. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, think not that I am come, this is Jesus speaking, think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And notice in the next part of that verse, in verse 25, let's read it all together. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, continue in the law of liberty is what he's saying there. We are to continue. And that verse goes on to say, he being not a forgetful hearer, do what God says. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And it says, this man who does this shall be blessed in his deed. And verse 26 goes on to say, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's worthless, misleading. And this means that the beliefs that you have, and if you put your belief in something else, and you're not saved, You can't be saved other than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when we are saved, we need to be working and let people see within our lives what God has done for us. Anything that we do that brings dishonor and disgrace to the Lord, people see that. And our testimonies as such become worthless in the sight of man. The Bible tells us and teaches us this. Pure religion is true religion that consists not in rites and forms, but not in outward zeal, but in the right moral and spiritual condition of the heart. For out of the heart perceives the things of the real person. Verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Pure religion is what God sees. And I believe that's what James is trying to tell us here in verse 27, and it goes on to say here that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Christians are to help people according to this verse. We're not just to sit around, and we're not only to give out the plan of salvation, but we're to help those people who are around us. And what is this? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Christians are not to be polluted by the world, by the people, or the world system, according to verse 27, the last part of that verse. Well, now we continue on our study, and we're going to look at a couple of verses today in chapter 2. We see in verse 1 and some other verses here that Christ and believers with respect to persons, we're not to have that. We're not to have respect of persons according to verses 1 through 8. But notice here the attitudes and actions toward the rich and the poor is seen in James chapter 2 verses 1 through 6. James chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In other words, do not show favoritism. Don't show favoritism to one person over another. Don't make distinctions among your Christian brethren on account of differences of worldly positions. And the Lord shows no partiality, James is saying here. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is not to be held with partiality. And in 1 Corinthians 12:5 it says, "And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And once again in Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." God is no respecter of persons. He sees us the same. He sees us first as a human being who needs Jesus as Savior, his Son whom he sent into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. Then he sees us after we receive Jesus as our Savior as his children. He does not have he does not make a difference between us. He sees us the same. We're all saved. We're placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my concern for you today is, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know him as your Lord? Have you asked him to come into your heart? If not, may I invite you to do so right now. Admit you're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you. If you admit you're a sinner, then you must need a Savior, because no one goes to heaven without a Savior. And that Savior, there's only one, and that is Jesus Christ. And he is Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save those who were lost. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans chapter 10. Have you trusted him? Bow your head right now. Admit you're a sinner and ask him to come into your heart. He'll save you today. Are you a Christian? Are you serving him? Bow your head and say, "Lord, I want to serve you today. I want from this point on, from this point forward, I want to serve you. Help me, Lord. Give me the strength to serve you today." It's been good being with you today, and let me remind you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to send us an email, and you'll even see an address there where you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.